Welcome to the Better Questions Podcast. We wrestle with hard questions and seek to ask better ones. Tracy sending in some real, real great questions, some real bangers here. Matthew 22:29, it says at the resurrection, we will be like angels, neither marry nor be given in marriage. So at the resurrection, why be a transformed being who is no longer a wife, mother, and daughter? Really good question. I think what we need to do with this question, first and foremost, there's a lot of things when we think about heaven, we think about what things will be like that I simply, in humility, need to say I don't know for sure. But I do know that we have to take this particular passage in its context and ask sort of the bigger question behind it is not necessarily a description of what heaven is like, but why is Jesus sharing this information? So if you go to this particular passage in Matthew 22, we've got this story, this parable of the wedding banquet. Okay, actually, and that actually goes back farther from Matthew 22:29. And remember, the authors, Matthew and the authors of the New Testament, oftentimes are very purposeful in where things are placed in a story. And so to just read the section, you see those, that little title in your Bible before the paragraph at verse 23, what does it say? The Sadducees and the resurrection, right? That little chapter heading is not in the original text. Okay, so that's what we call a pericope. It's trying to describe and make it easier for people to read. But that doesn't actually exist in the original text. So we read, you know, straight from Matthew 22, you start with the parable of the wedding banquet, which goes right into God and Caesar as the pericope there. And then you have the Sadducees and the resurrection. So first and foremost, we have to read all of it in its context to really get after the meaning of what's happening. But for the sake of time, let's go right at this one. Because in verse 29, Jesus answered them, "You are mistaken because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Now concerning the resurrection of the dead, haven't you read what have already been spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." Now the important part here that you can't miss is verse 33. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at their teaching. Why were they astonished? That's the question, right? What is it about Jesus' statement here that is so astonishing? Well, there's a couple things at play here. The reason Jesus says like angels is because resurrected people will not marry because they're eternal and have no need to procreate, right? There's kind of just an assumption there. And Jesus' whole point here is about eternity, right? This shows the dilemma, okay? The dilemma here was that the Sadducees, they accepted only the Pentateuch, which is Genesis through Deuteronomy, as scripture. And so they would just ignore or dismiss passages like Isaiah 26:19 or Daniel 12:2, okay, which are really what Jesus is referencing here. And in order to convince these people of the resurrection, Jesus needed to appeal to the books that they revered, right? He couldn't go to those passages and say, see, this is why, fill in the blank. Instead, he cites Exodus 3:6 and then 15 through 16, which is where God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And he referred to the dead patriarchs in a manner that would imply that they still existed. Okay, so think about that. I am the God of Abraham, rather than I was the God of Abraham. So what Jesus is doing here, he's making a statement about eternity. So they give Jesus this false dilemma, right? The Sadducees are saying, who are denying the resurrection, they say, if a man dies having no children and his brother is to marry his wife and raise up their offspring, But there were seven brothers, and then another died, and then another died, and basically this wife was married to all these different men. Well, then what happens? Are she just going to marry all of them in eternity? You can see how their mind's working, right? If there's a resurrection, then who is going to be this person's wife? She didn't marry these men out of some sinful affair. This was out of being widowed. And these men were probably protecting her. But Jesus is getting after the better question. Interested in playing their little false dilemma games. He sees beyond it. And so he makes the statement about eternity. He makes the statement about eternity, right? There's no need to procreate in heaven because heaven is forever. What's kind of funny to me in all this is Jesus, you know, comes at the Sadducees here right after they tried to get him on another issue, right? They asked him the coin question, if it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not. And Jesus can already smell it, right? It's, I think my translation says, perceiving their malicious intent. He opens with, why are you testing me? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they show him the denarius, who's has the picture of Caesar, right? And he says, whose image in the inscription is this? And he says, Caesar. And then he gives it to him and he says, give then to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. And what is so profound about the way Jesus answers the question is that he recognized right away the trap they were trying to set up for him. Because either he has to say that he's approving of the Roman occupation, or by disapproving, he would have to be seen as treasonous against Rome. By Jesus using the term, whose image and inscription, what this invokes, and this is where, like, Jesus just blows everyone's mind here. By using the term image, okay, Jesus is invoking Genesis 1. He's saying all a person is belongs to God since we bear the image and likeness of God. And so by saying, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God things that are God's, he's saying, he's essentially like just absolutely dunking on their question. Because he's saying yes to both in a sense. Give Caesar what's his, but Caesar belongs to God. You know, it's just one of those really awesome moments. And so the question about the marriage thing coming right after the heels of that, it just kind of shows this picture of like, they leave, they come back and try and trap him. They leave and they come back and they just keep trying to trap him with these questions, and Jesus is just running circles around them. So I think when we interpret it, I think we need to do less interpreting. I don't think Jesus is really trying to make too much of a statement on what heaven is like. Will we be married in heaven? Not in the same way, I don't think. But also, I don't know that we necessarily won't be with our loved ones. I mean, I would think that we would be. I don't know that for sure, but I think that we would be, and that's a whole nother discussion. But I just think it's important for us to understand the context of why these statements are being made, because that helps us then to get to underneath kind of the question, will you be a mother, a wife, a grandmother? I think the answer to that is yes, in the sense that you will be with your loved ones for eternity. It's not going to work the same way, you know, because there is no procreation because it's eternal. Anyway, I probably went way too long on my answer there. I was really getting excited about Jesus dunking on the Sadducees, but I just want to say thank you for your question. It's a great question, and I'm going to keep thinking about that one. Thanks again for tuning in. Send in your questions, better questions, at eastminster.org. It's always a joy to converse with you. Until next time, grace and peace.